You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Back in June, two men were arrested and charged with impersonating a police officer in the city of Caldwell. The pair said they were bail bondsmen and they were trying to arrest a suspect. KTVB Channel 7 in Boise talked with one of the men who said he was just doing his job. Now, this case, though, raised several issues about bail bond agents and what they can and cannot do. Joining me in studio to help us better understand this issue is Kieran Donahue. He is the Kenyon County Sheriff, but he's also president of the Idaho Sheriff's Association. Sheriff Donahue, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
First question, can you explain exactly what a bail bonds agent is?
Yes. What people, in general terms, so when someone gets arrested they have a bond posted, there's a bond posted, whatever that amount is, well, the bond agents are the surety, the insurance company, so to speak, for they're going to put up the money for that bond, whether it's based on someone's amount of cash they have, mm-hmm. or property or what have you. Well, there's a company out there, there's many companies that do that. So the bail bonds agent works for that company or contracts to that company. So when someone skips out on their bond, so if you get a bond, you're supposed to appear in court on a certain date or what mm-hmm. have you. If they don't, now they've absconded on their bond. Well, then the surety company is responsible for that. That whether it's $10,000,
it is the full amount, correct?
Yeah, $300,000, half a million, whatever that is. And so they contract or employ these people to go out and recover the person, which is the bond. They recover the person and take that person to jail. And now that person is going to see the judge as prescribed. And then the bond is, you know, revoked in most cases.
So then under Idaho law, what is a bail bonds person able to do when mm-hmm. it actually comes to arresting mm-hmm. people? Because this was the issue in Caldwell.
Right. They actually do have arrest powers, which is really interesting. It's one of the outside of law enforcement, it's the only one that can do that. So they have the ability to take that person into custody or arrest, if you want to call it that, but take them into custody and take them to the nearest constable, jail, what have you. So they do have that power under Idaho statute. Many states have that. Probably most states have that. But it's so fluid. It's so wide open and wide latitude. Mm. That's why this case came to light. In fact, the case you're talking about is our case, one of my detective's cases.
Right. This happened in Kenyon County.
Yes.
So the Sheriff's Association, you have been working for quite
yes.
a few years, going to the legislature, in fact,
yes.
because you believe, your association, that there are some shades of gray
yes.
with this law. Explain that.
Yes. In fact, it's not just the Sheriff's Association. In fact, the Sheriff's Association was approached years ago mm. by the Bail Bonds Association, Bondsman's Association of Idaho. So it's been a very collaborative effort between that industry, who does this,
mm-hmm.
and the Sheriff's Association. So over a period of 2 years of collaborative work, we came up with things that, from law enforcement perspective, what we feel should be in place in the law to protect that industry. And the industry itself said, please help us regulate ourselves so our guys don't get in trouble out there. So we don't have these this unfortunate incidents where people, you know, firearms are discharged and innocent people are at risk and things like that. So that's, we have been working on it very closely with the Bail Bondsmen's Associations. And we took a bill to the legislature this last session, a very, very good bill. And unfortunately, it was defeated.
What do you think needs to happen in the changes in the law
mm-hmm.
when it comes to making this more black and white then?
They're pretty simple, really. I mean, some of the requirements were we require you to be 21 years old. Right?
Simple.
So that's pretty dang simple. We require you to have outer clothing. If you're going to go out and make contact with an individual, you put on outer clothing that clearly identifies you as a bail bondsman, a recovery agent. So the public knows who you are instead of just plain clothes
mm-hmm.
and you're waving a gun around and handcuffing someone. Who are you? Why are you doing this?
Right.
So we require that. We also, with the industry, said we require them to wear a badge that clearly identifies them as only they would have this badge. It says, I'm a bail bonds agent, right? Today, they can use any kind of a badge, and there are bad apples in every group, right?
Always.
Which the industry recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go out and say, well, I'm a federal law enforcement officer. I'm a local law enforcement officer. I'm a state enforcement officer. No, you're not. You're not a law enforcement officer at all. We also require them that you can't be, that there's requirements that you can't be a law enforcement officer, or excuse me, a bail bonds agent if you're a convicted felon. because convicted felon can't carry a gun.
Correct.
In most, there are some exceptions. So those are some of the simple things, and really is about tightening up the industry itself to have those requirements in place so that there's a standard met and so that it really diffuses those potential dangerous, if not deadly, altercations in the streets.
I'm speaking with Karen Donahue. He is the Kenyon County Sheriff, also the president of the Idaho Sheriff's Association, talking about bail bonds agents and the some clarities that potentially need to be made in the law. And when this bill was defeated, Sheriff Donahue, was your association surprised?
We were very surprised, and we were there. You know, we take myself and a couple of the other sheriffs are on the legislative committee. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we took great interest in this, and we were there testifying on behalf of this bill. And I was very surprised because some of the comments came out, even from one of our own senators from Kenyon County, that, well, this is over-regulation. It's not over-regulation when the industry itself is asking for the regulation, right? Mm-hmm. And all we're simple things saying that you need to notify the sheriff or law enforcement authorities in that jurisdiction when you're going to be out there hunting someone. So we know if we get a phone call that you're out there, right? That, hey, there's a guy with a gun. Well, he's got this badge. Okay, he's supposed to be out there. But the opposition, those comments that were made in committee is like, this is kind of absurd. And, you know, getting it through committee, we got through committee, but then on the Senate floor, it's like those types of comments where it's over regulation. Do we really need this? And how many incidents are there? Well, good senator from Kenyon County, there's two incidents in Kenyon County alone and a third incident in Bonneville County where a man was killed. So they're pretty, if we have one incident, it's too many.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, come on, this is not rocket science.
And it seems to me that this also comes down to a safety issue for the community.
Without question.
Because even in this situation in Caldwell, they were in a neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
So there are witnesses in other homes and children. And when there is someone with a gun and they are not identified.
That's exactly what happened in that case. In fact, that case, there was an innocent person who had just come there, a Boise State University student, to pick up that person, to take them. They had no idea who these people were, and they're carrying guns, and they're wearing clothing that indicates they're either military or law enforcement, and they're neither. And that's why those charges were brought.
And this is where the clarification, in your opinion, needs to be made.
Needs to be. We're not going to fix everything,
right?
But we're going to address the bad apples in the box, right? If you're going to be, because let's face it, 90% of all those folks are very professional in how they conduct business. But you're always going to have that percentage. Mm-hmm. And that's the percentage we're going to deal with, and that's the percentage that's going to cause these incidents. But it is about public safety. We had another incident down in Sunny Slope, just on Highway 55 there, where they watch a car, they see the car come in, they think it's the woman they're after, the guy goes into the store, a very rural store, and they go out and they jump in the car and try to arrest the lady. Well, he comes out thinking, hey, they're trying to kidnap my girlfriend. So he grabs a gun. He's prohibited, but he grabs a gun out of the car. Then one of the agents shoots him through the window, wrestling the car. She takes off in the car, nearly runs over a person, wrecks into another vehicle. Another shot is fired, and the clerk and the kids are hiding in the storeroom. I think we can do better than that. And they didn't have any clear identification on them.
And even if the person they're trying to apprehend is trying to get away,
right,
at least the public would know.
Yes, that this is clearly a recovery agent. Outer clothing and a badge that clearly identifies as to who you are. And with that brings in that tightening up of the standard. And again, most of these people are really good about it. They've made contact with the sheriff or the jurisdiction, say, we're going to be out there. We need to know you're out there, because if we get those calls, Let's look at this scenario. We get a call like that, and we did, and my team responded.
Yeah, you didn't just make the story up.
We don't know who Fred Defoe is.
Right, right.
We just know there's a guy with a gun. Well, that person could be from a legal standpoint, doing the right thing. They have the ability to take that person into custody based on the bond. Well, we don't know any of that. So we roll in, and if you got two or three people with a gun, I guarantee you we're going to have guns, and I guarantee you we're going to draw down on them.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee it. But we don't know who they are.
Whereas if
they had that clothing and if they had that badge, okay, we get everybody calm down.
At least you can calm the situation down quickly. quicker.
And we probably could calm it down because we knew they're in the area.
Mm-hmm. And because you do need bail bonds agents,
yeah,
I'm assuming.
We really do. The industry needs it, right? Because there's a lot of people going in on bond, and a lot of people jump that bond or abscond from that bond. And quite frankly, that company has the right to revoke that bond. That company has a right to protect their financial interests. I support that 100%. We just do it in a standard way that keeps everybody safe. And the one thing you have to keep coming back to is that industry approached us. We didn't approach the industry.
Mm-hmm.
They recognized the issues, and they said, we want to address this. And they've been incredibly great to work with. They've been great to work with. And a lot of times, that's not the case. In this case, they've been extremely helpful, cooperative, and really said, what do you need from us, sheriffs? And we're like, well, this is what we'd like to see. And they were agreeable to those standards. So,
will you be heading to the legislature?
Without question, we're bringing it back.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in and
absolutely
clarifying all of this for myself and for our listeners. An important topic that maybe we don't know enough about.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I've been talking with Kieran Donahue, the Kenyon County Sheriff's, about bail bonds agents and some clarifications potentially that need to be made in the law. Up next, a conversation with the first artist in residence at the James Castle House. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.